On this episode of Mechs and Men, we discuss the sequel to Far Country and its consequences with its author, Jason Hanza.
This is Of Mechs and Men, a Battletech book club. I am Jason Hanza, joined as usual by my two good friends, Brent.
It's me, Brent.
And Aaron.
It's me, Aaron.
How are we doing, boys?
Well, I don't have a bird for a gunner, so I think I'm going to make it.
Well, that's good, because this week, Kanan couldn't make it to this recording, as he's on vacation, and I am getting over the convention flu from Adepticon, so my voice will be going in and out. But we did want to hop on here, because while we were at the convention, we found out Jason Hanza has an exciting new project he's working on that he wanted to announce to everybody. So we decided to hop in and give him the opportunity to talk about it.
This is a exclusive sneak peek too, right?
This plot line is 100% exclusive to you.
Well, that's good. And let's get into it.
So we have a special show for you guys. We once again have the illustrious Jason Hanza on here with us to discuss his upcoming work, Farther Country, the sequel to the renowned Battletech novel, Far Country.
Renowned is one word for it.
It is a word.
It is beloved. There's definitely a part of the fan base that very much enjoys it, but once again, we're happy to have Jason Hanza on. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, guys.
So what's the origin? Did CGL push you an email and was like, we need...
Yeah. It goes back to last Gen Con, you know, when me and some of the editing team were around. And, you know, they just kind of threw an idea at me like, you know, hey, if you're going to pitch for a sequel to Far Country, would you want to? And would you think? And so I threw together some ideas and I emailed it in. And they liked, I guess, what I was cooking. So, you know, here I am. I've been asked to work on a sequel to Far Country, which is, you know, humbling and terrifying at the same time.
Well, I do remember during the Gen Con live streams that Far Country was brought up many times during the fiction panels. So
people keep bringing it up. So I guess it was time to revisit the Far Country. The thing is, the book is really hard to find now because, you know, it's essentially like first printings and whatever, and it hasn't been republished. So
right. Catalyst is it's not up for the print on demand.
Right. I think it's a rights issue, as I understand it. Because I think the author has passed, as I understand. So
I see a sword and dagger situation.
It is Peter Rice. He wrote for FASA in a different universe, also in the Renegade Legion. So, and he wrote a series of three books in the Renegade Legion, and they're amazing, absolute like sci-fi Team Yankee kind of stuff. So you know, they say you stand on the shoulders of giants, and so I'm like humbled to be asked to follow on his work. For many people, probably haven't read the original though. So I thought maybe I'd give a short synopsis of kind of like how what happened then. So, you know, kind of bring you guys up to speed on my sequel pitch.
That would be great. We'd love a recap, especially for our listeners.
And for some of us here that haven't had a chance to listen to it because we're only, you know, 5.5 books in.
Exactly. So, okay. So the original novel starts with a mist jump from a troops from the Age of War, you know, all tanks and Bubbas. And so, and they misjump to a crazy planet. They don't know where the heck they are, and they land. And so then it fast forwards about 1,000 years later to 3056, and Draconis Combine team and a mercenary unit, they're going out as like part of the Draconis Combine support of IE, Interstellar Expeditions, I think. Or it might have been a Comstars group. Anyways, and so they misjump also, and they go and they land on the same planet. And they all the humans have devolved in essentially warring factions, and they all want the Desk team to help them out. And because they have mechs, that, you know, and one of which is a lamb, one's a panther, one's a javelin, and they got the Desk team. Well, there's also these aliens, the Tiate, and they're like big chicken birds. You know, they look like giant. And if you look on the cover, if you Google it, you know, they look like parrots, you know, big walking parrots with arms that carry a spear. And they're intelligent. They are sentient beings. They're not just, you know, talking birds.
It's shaped like a locust if it was fleshy, yeah. And had feathers.
Yeah. And so arms. The fourth mech is a locust, as a matter of fact. And the birds really kind of, that's one of the reasons why they kind of join up with the Desk team and support them is because they like kind of worship this locust. And so eventually the Desk team and the Tiete, they escape. They find a working dropship and they escape to the moon, which is also habitable. And they call it Far Country. So the title of the book is actually comes up at the very end. You see the dropship lifting off, going to Far Country. And, you know, they just leave this war-torn planet behind.
And if Kanan was here with us, that's where he would say he started clapping.
So I do have a question before we get into your sequel.
Right, which is still a work in progress. So, you know, I'm happy to throw around ideas with you guys, you know, because if you come up with a better idea, I'll write it in.
Of course.
I'll put you in the acknowledgement so it's legal.
So the first book is often, it's referred to lovingly, but mostly as a meme. Obviously, CGL wants you to kind of take this seriously, or maybe that's even a better question. Are you taking it seriously? Because I believe there was some fan fiction posted by an author a while back where they kind of made a parody of it. So you're going to be taking this dead seriously, right?
Absolutely. A lot of people who have read the original novel will tell you that it's a good science fiction book. It's just not a good Battletech book. And so I see that as the bar. At a minimum, I want people to sit there and say, okay, this is still a terrible Battletech idea, but at least Hansa wrote a good story. You know, so that's the bar. If I can do both, I'm not joking around. I'm not playing. And it's serious work. And I treat it as such.
Now, is the first book considered canon?
Yes, 100% canon. It's just,
yeah.
It's at the time, and you know, this is, you know, you're now kind of segueing into the sequel idea. But yes, at the time, they jumped so far away that it doesn't matter. If that makes sense. Yeah. It's like they jumped a whole galaxy away, you know, like Doctor Who levels of distance has been the common perception.
It seems that there was a compromise when the writer Peter L. Rice originally brought Far Country to Catalyst. Apparently, that was kind of let's see how this is going to go.
Yeah, I think they're looking at maybe a spinoff kind of series or another world where they could put aliens in and see where it kind of went. I just don't think I don't think the audience reaction was there.
With your summary that you gave us, you know, there was kind of this worst case scenario. They're stuck here, right? The entire cast of the book, they're stuck. The misjump happened and they have no way back. So,
right.
Effectively, there's nothing about the story that potentially would have them re-engaging with the rest of the canon universe.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that is luckily one of the things that John Helfers and them, the team sat there and allowed me to change.
I see. That was actually going to be my next question. So are you going to be breaching that cordon? Is Far Country going to bleed over into regular canon?
Yes. Yeah. Again, it was in my pitch that, you know, and it was approved, you know. So I guess I came up with an idea that I hadn't heard before. Luckily, the original novel was written essentially before FM Crusader Clans, FM Warden Clans, and like Warriors of Kerensky. Essentially, before the homeworlds had been placed in canon, Far Country came out. So what I was, when I sat there and pitched, was that Far Country was far away that in the, for the past 30 years, it was considered far. But because the space has expanded, our, you know, knowledge of the inner sphere, plastic homeworld and stuff has expanded in the deep periphery, it's not as far as we thought. So they're just kind of there. They're right outside the map. They're right there to the west.
Oh, so this is interesting. So now we know where Far Country is what you're saying.
Yes.
So where is Far Country?
Well, I'm using map terms instead of like the official battle mech anti-spin word, rim word nonsense, because I can never keep track.
I feel like it's probably better north, south, yeah, east, west.
Exactly.
Our listeners will also, I'm sure that there's plenty that would understand it, but there's plenty that wouldn't.
Yeah, for the listeners. Okay, so north of the Inner Sphere, as you guys know, is the Clan Homeworlds, you know, and they're about a year's travel away. So in that gap between the Clan Homeworlds and the Inner Sphere is like a whole bunch of deep periphery stuff. On the right-hand side, the east side, is the Yarnfolk. On the left-hand side is the Glyas Scorpion Empire. And I'm placing Far Country to the left of the Glyas Scorpion Empire, so farther to the west. So, you know, this is, yeah.
So are we going to see some interplay there? Or
yes, absolutely.
Oh.
So
can you go into any of that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give you brief synopsis and overviews. Of course, I'm trying not to give too many spoilers away, you know, because
of course,
I do want people to read the book. So, but essentially, you know, when they get to Far Country, they find that there's remains of other dropships from people that had crash landed there and just kind of like killed themselves. And, you know, cause they weren't going to make it. They, their, you know, their attempt failed. So they're going to fall in on about a battalion, two battalions worth of stuff. And they're cool. You know, the desk, they're teaching, because the birds are never stupid, right? You know, they were uneducated. So the desk teams, they're teaching them to read, to write, to do math, you know, the societies are getting along great. These birds are being raised by very traditional Caridans. So they have a very honorable outlook on life. And so everything's chugging along well, right until about the 3090s, when some jump ships appear. And these jump ships are carrying refugees from the Hanza, which is a tribe that the Scorpion Empire has essentially conquered when they took over the Hanza and the Umayyad, I know I mispronounced that, territories to make the Scorpion Empire. When the Scorpions were abjured during the Wars of Reaving, and the Chuck Deuces popped smoke and took over a couple of tiny little periphery nations to make their own. Well, these are refugees that come in. Of course, you know, the Tiete and the last of the Death Troopers, they're like, yeah, absolutely. Please land here. Our home is open to you. And once they find out what's going on, remember, the Death Troopers jumped out in 3056, which was the height of the clan invasion. They have no idea that Serpent and, you know, everything happened. They have no idea what happened. So all they hear is people need help from the clans. And the Death Troopers like, we're in. You know, you got it, fam. So it takes them a while to spool up the speed to start building back up. I'm setting this, you know, like right at the Ill Clan era, you know, so it can take place in the current timeline. But yeah, essentially, like, you know, Valentine's Day is 3052. The combined Hanza Bird Desk Task Force leaps into the Scorpion Empire, you know, and, you know, coming to whoop some ass. And,
They'll never see it coming.
not from that direction. They're looking north, they're looking south, and looking a little bit to the east, but no one's looking west, you know, from an invasion from the outer space.
For good reason. Yes.
So now the Scorpions are in an interesting place. A lot like the Ghost Bears, the Scorpions Empire, the Scorpions are essentially kind of their military, and they've got seats on the council, but they're also very much like the Ghost Bears. They're like a civilian-led empire. So while, yeah, they conquered a couple of nations and subjugated them, they ended up giving those civilians a whole bunch of rights, you know? So these people are not actually really as subjugated as the refugees think. So it's a lot of misunderstandings. So I'm really working hard to make it so you're like, okay, yeah, Death Troopers go in, stuff like that. But then you get the Scorpion Empire side, and you're like, wait a second, these are good people. Who do I want to win here? You know, so it kind of, and of course, then there's a lot of the survivors. You know, there's a couple old farts still hanging around from the Light Horse, and the Scorpions have the 71st Light Horse cluster. You know, the descendants of the Light Horse, they carry on the legacy of the Light Horse. And so
the ones left on Huntress.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. They were absorbed by the Glass Scorpions, and the Glass Scorpions have created a cluster of Light Horse descendants and stuff. So all these Bubbas see is, you know, a whole bunch of mechs appearing with Draconis Combine symbols on board. So they're like, all right, here we go again. there's this great Draconis Comp, you know, these bird-powered, bird-directed battle mechs with Draconis Combine symbols fighting the Lord Light Horse. And as people start to talk, they're like, whoa, 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 time out. So, you know, it's a series of misunderstandings. But the end of the book, I want the Tiete to come, you know, to be essentially part of the Scorpion Empire. The Scorpion Empire, because it's an accepting society, they get a seat at the table. You know, it's like kind of the first human alien intersphere nation, you know, and that then they can go forward. And that's my plot.
So I do have some questions here.
No doubt.
First thing that springs to mind, so they've been stranded there for some time. What is the, you know, what's the tech base? I'm sure that there's a lot of technology that survived from the original book till now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crash drop ships are from the Star League. It's essentially kind of like a missing Star League regiment that misjumped, you know, like,
I see.
During like the Mara Civil War. So 3050-ish technology. So they're coming in under gun.
Right.
But as I'm writing them, you know, birds have excellent vision. So, you know, I'm having a lot of them as they're piloting. They have really excellent gunnery with anything like a kind of a direct fire weapon, especially lasers. So it kind of balances out. And it also, if people want to play it on the table, you know, it's like, okay.
Well, I was going to ask, are we going to see rules for the Tiete on the tabletop?
I'm hoping. In my story, I'm having a lot of mechs with dual cockpits, especially like the Battlemasters and stuff like that. So like the Tiete are gunning and the humans are piloting. You know?
Interesting. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the neuro helmet, how does the neuro helmet interface with their bird
not
bind?
Well, not well. That's why they have to sit there and kind of retrofit a bunch of battle mechs.
Are they shaving their feathers to get good neuro helmet connectivity?
They're at least plucking them.
Well, I guess they're just doing gunnery.
Yes. Yeah, they're just doing gunnery, so they don't have the neuro helmets.
Right. That makes sense.
So I'm hoping that, like I said, they're doing a lot of refitting so they can be the gunners. And so, so on the tabletop, yeah, anybody with a plus one gunner, so the Tiete would have the plus one gunnery for direct fire weapons, which, has a DE. And then because they're all command consoles, they automatically get a plus one initiative. So I think it will help balance out the clan technological superiority of the Goliath Scorpions when the Tiete and the Draconis Combine forces, essentially, come in with a plus one initiative and better plus one to hits. So, I'm trying to make it so when people read the story, if they want to sit there and try and redo the battles on the tabletop, it'll make a fun battle. It'll make it interesting.
Oh, man, are we going to get a historical, Far Country?
I hope so. I don't do the nonfiction side of the house, but I'm hoping that, that if this sells well and the people sit there and bring it up in chats and stuff like that, or they're going up to Randall and saying, happy 40th anniversary for BattleTech. Can we get an XTRO Far Country?
I definitely think people will be bringing up in chat.
I'm hoping that people discuss.
I feel like the consequences for the Scorpion Empire, it might completely change their future. I mean, they're going to be integrating with this alien race.
Absolutely. And I'm really happy about that because, A, the Scorpion Empire has a lot of fans out there. And they want to know what's next with the Scorpion Empire. What's next with the Scorpion Empire? Are they going to recognize the Yo Clan? Are they fighting the Homeworlds? And this gives those fans, a story, but B, also makes the Scorpion Empire really unique. I mean, like when I was just sitting there describing them, well, the Scorpion Empire is kind of like the Ghost Bears. Everybody's kind of like somebody. The first nation to integrate in an alien race in BattleTech, that's unique. I hope the fans like it.
I think this is going to be controversial.
I think you're right. I don't know how the fans are going to enjoy it. I don't know. I mean, in the Army, we had an expression, they called it like cashing in a silver bullet. When you're sitting there and you're cashing in on your reputation. It's like, sir, I know this sounds crazy, but please trust me. And they look at you and they're like, okay, it's your ball. And I feel like I'm cashing in every silver bullet I have. To sit there and hope that the fans enjoy this or at least give it a chance.
I think people are going to show up for it, right? I mean, it's just, there's a boldness to doing this, as controversial as Far Country was originally. And so I think people are going to just show up just because it's happening. Hopefully you give them what they want.
Well, and after we just got Urban Mech Lambs, it seems like something that might be completely far out there, maybe even further out there, might pay off.
Yeah, farther out there, anyone would I'd say. No, yeah, I mean, and what I do like, though, I mean, with the Urban Mech Lambs, I really appreciate that Catalyst is taking a chance, taking a, kind of a wild idea or a step forward and sitting there saying, what the hell, let's go for it. And I really feel like this novel falls into that what the hell, let's try it category.
I like to see that they're not afraid to have a little fun.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be for everyone, but I do think that there's some people that are going to have a good time with this.
Yeah. When you read the original Snord's source book, I mean, these goofballs were running around with crappy mechs playing Elvis and just stealing treasure, and then they got serious later. They were kind of retconning the seriousness. And then there was an entire adventure with a time traveling ship, the SLS Molasses. And there's I think one called Royalty and Rogues is where you're sitting there trying to rescue a princess or some nonsense. I mean, BattleTech used to embrace the goofiness.
Right.
So
one could argue even, the Black Marauder series, which is beloved, but it's definitely falls with, kind of in that,
the bizarre side of BattleTech.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't think BattleTech needs complete craziness. It shouldn't be a Saturday morning cartoon series. But there's time to embrace it, embracing the fact we had a cartoon series and then making the lead character of the cartoon the Arkan. That's insane. What what a character arc.
He was just a humble man from Somerset.
Yeah, exactly. Information's ammunition. And this dude led the Iron Commonwealth. I mean, BattleTech embraces the goofiness sometimes, and I love it. So,
well, there you have it, Farther Country by Jason Hanza. So when can we expect to see it?
John Helfers has, he's anticipating releasing it on the 1st of April, 2025.
Okay.
So about a year from now, because I promised to get it in on time, and that's when we're looking at.
I foresee it being controversial, but I am nonetheless excited, and we'll be looking forward to reading it. And our audience out there, we'd love to hear what you think. Please write in at advice@heat.management. Tell us what your thoughts are of this farther country.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, if this sells well, I can get complete out the trilogy with Farthest Country. Already sketching together ideas.
I mean, you're gonna have to. I mean, there's no way that this is gonna be all wrapped up with the Scorpion Empire. And what does it change about them? Their potential plotting of coming into the Inner Sphere, maybe even tangling with Alaric himself.
Yeah. Say what you will about the Third Star League. They don't have aliens.
That's right.
Like I said, I'm hoping people give it a chance. I hope when they read it and I hope they enjoy it, in that order.
Well, I certainly will be giving it a chance. And thanks a bunch for coming on again and giving us kind of this sneak peek. And I'm sure we will have you on again soon. But until then, thank you.
Thanks again for having me, guys. It's been wonderful.
This has been another episode of Mechs and Men. I am Brent, and I've been joined by my two good friends, author Jason Hanza and Aaron. We would like to thank the author, Mr. Hanza, and all the other writers and artists that work so hard to keep Battletech alive. We would also like to thank Catalyst Game Labs for being such generous stewards of the property. We have an email, advice@heat.management. If you have any questions, corrections, please send them to advice@heat.management. We are on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, @ofmechsandmen. We also have a booth in the Valhalla Club Discord, which is just a great place to hang out. Also, if you like us, please leave a review on your favorite listening platform.
And we'll be back here in a few days with an episode covering our trip to Adepticon, as well as another episode this week where we'll return to covering the chapters of Warrior Coupe. Until next time,
c'est la.